Hello, Chit-Chillers here. We interrupt the daily grind of the mundane and hyperbolous banter to bring you this extraordinary and astonishing broadcast.
It is time to cast off words, darkness.
Hey, hello, this is Ed Gutfeld. We're glad that you're with us. This is another opportunity to lift up the name, to do something great for heaven. It is time. It's always time. And we're just jumping in the middle of it and finding our place in God's plan. We're glad you're here. And we have a great program. This is part two. You know, we did part one just yesterday on overcoming faith. And there was so much material to cover that we are going to do part two. Yeah, it is time. It is a timely message in the time of the Gentiles for the times and seasons of our life. How can I be so sure of that? Because we know the time. We can look at the time and tell the time by God's time. Is that enough time for you? Time out? No, there is no time out. And time keeps going. And the only way to get on the good side of time is to redeem it and to buy it back. And that's what we're all about here, redeeming the time, taking every opportunity and buying up for eternity and doing something that is awesome for God. Faith is the way you buy it back. Every opportunity is an opportunity of faith. And that's hard to hear sometimes because the pressure of time comes on us so strong. But the moment we turn it around, say, I'm going to trust you, God, I'm going to find something to believe about you, then we're on the right side of time, and we definitely do turn it around and redeem it. And everything you do, think about this, everything you do will be rewarded throughout eternity when you redeem the time. That's how you live with Jesus and walk with him. He didn't do anything he didn't see his Father do. He didn't say anything he didn't see his Father say, and that is powerful. Hey, our sponsor is 2Core 10-4. Let's go ahead and hear from them right now. Our sponsor this half hour is 2Core 10-4. Has your mind been plagued and bombarded with the high traffic of vain imaginations? Have the thoughts and accusations from the Father of Lies been jamming and congesting the freeways of your mind? Do human reasonings and haughty intellectual arrogance overcrowd and clog the corridors and throughways of your thinking? Then it's time you try 2Core 10-4. 2Core 10-4 was first introduced by the Apostle Paul around 56 AD. 2Core 10-4 carries the anointing of God and has been overpowering mental congestion for centuries. Known by its full name, 2 Corinthians 10:4, this passage of spirit and life has been eliminating stress and anxiety through its authoritative casting down power. Yes, the thoughts are cast down when the believer addresses them so in the mighty name of Jesus. When this gospel is applied, the mental traffic and congestion is cleared up, and all thoughts of peace prevail. When 2Core 10-4 is on the job, the traffic report is clear and smooth sailing. You can find 2Core 10-4 in the New Testament in the book of 2 Corinthians, right after 1 Corinthians and just before Galatians. 2Core 10-4, a spiritual weapon to fight and beat the mental traffic jam. Apply it today and be at peace in moments. That's right, 2Core 10-4. It can be found in any good Bible that has 2 Corinthians in it. And, you know, you can take it during work. Yeah, I take it during the broadcast, you know. And it keeps our minds clear and concise and precise and on target. So we can think the thoughts of God, think higher thoughts, and live in higher ways. And that's God's plan for our life. You know, we talked about faith that overcomes. We wouldn't have to talk about faith that overcomes because faith automatically, real faith overcomes. It doesn't need the word overcome after it. But there is an enemy at work. Yeah, he's lurking behind the file cabinet. And his name is Mental Ascent. And he comes and sneaks up on us. And he tells us, yo, you got faith. And somebody, you know, people are so quick to defend, oh, I have faith. Well, sometimes we think we have faith and say, well, how do you know the difference? Well, what do you do when the crunch is on, when the crisis is hitting? Faith acts. Faith is an action word. You can really call it faithing because it's an action word. And faith that overcomes as opposed to mental assent. Mental assent agrees mentally with a thought, but it doesn't act on it. You can believe in, for instance, you can believe in meditating in the Word. Do you believe in meditating in the Word? Oh, yes, I do. I believe in meditating in the Word. I believe the Bible. If it says it in the Bible, I believe the Bible. But do you meditate in the Word day and night? No. I believe in it, but I don't. Actually, we don't believe in it because we're not doing it. And so somebody said, that makes me feel tired. Well, let me tell you something. We're meditating on something. So we might as well meditate in the Word. What does it mean to meditate? It means to dwell upon, to mutter, to say it over and over and over. Worry is meditation on the problem. And so meditation is meditating in the Word. And the Word tells us that God is good. The Word tells us that we can trust Him. The Word tells us, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. He'll direct your path. So when we acknowledge Him, we're trusting in Him. Lord, I'm trusting in You right now. My hope is in You, God. I thank You that I can trust You, that in You I find my peace. In You I find my strength. Yeah. I'll mount up with wings as eagles. I'll run and not be weary and walk and not faint. In You I live and move and breathe. When we do these things, then all of our actions are in faith and founded in Him. So we begin to praise Him and worship Him, and that is an active faith life, and that's what we want to do. We talked about yesterday about the beautiful thought that you can believe you receive, that you can speak to mountains, and all of these things are faith actions because God said something in His Word. So let's put our trust in Him. Let's put our hope in Him. Let's find our peace in Him. Let's find our strength in Him. We can do that, you know. Lincoln Brewster wrote a song called Let the Praises Ring. And when there's something moving in your heart and life, yeah, it can cause faith to be alive. This is Let the Praises Ring, Lincoln Brewster.
Oh yes, I do.
Yeah, it's Lincoln Brewster and Let the Praises Ring. And that's a song that just really kind of says it all in terms of living and moving and having our being in God. Somebody said that that's too much God, too much all the time. Is I can't take that. I got to have a release somewhere. Well, be careful what you are trusting in. You know, that's the thing about life. We're trusting. And I like what somebody said, that the word trust, you can put it as leaning the entire body on something. Somebody said, well, I don't lean my entire body on anything. I'm a well-balanced person. You'd be surprised how much we trust in things, because when they're removed, we can't exist. And we find it very hard to function. But to trust in the Lord is to lean your entire personality upon Him. And trust in the Lord with all your heart. That means your heart is devoted to Him. Your heart is taken up by Him. And then when false things try to get in there and temptations, tests, and trials try to get into our heart, our trust is already active. Our faith is already active. And we don't have mental assent. We're not just mentally agreeing, but actually trusting in something else. I like what it says in Matthew 6:33. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. God's not a killjoy. He's not trying to take away our fun. In fact, you can have a lot of fun in faith. Absolutely. And living for God is an adventure, a high adventure. But religion is boring and dull and drab, and who wants to be involved with that? But Jesus is not boring, drab, and dull. But the life of faith is what causes strength and vitality and beauty to come to our life. And the opposite is going to happen when you put your trust in something else. So we don't want to get involved with mental assent. We want to be involved with the kind of faith that grabs a hold of God's promise. And we believe that God is faithful. And we become fearless, and we can speak to mountains. Otherwise, you know, you trust in chariots, you trust in horses, and it'll take away from you. And so I found a clip by Chuck and Gina Norris. It's a little dated, but it still speaks of the situations that people face. Now, this is about young Hollywood, but here's an actor that's been involved with Hollywood, been involved with all the stuff, and yet really realized that this money, fame, and all that stuff cannot satisfy the human heart. And I just really enjoyed what they had to say. So talking about faith that overcomes, because if you don't have faith that overcomes, you're going to be overcome and you're going to be the victim instead of the victor. But let's listen to Chuck and Gina Norris on faith in God in young Hollywood.
So many people in young Hollywood right now that are going through craziness. I mean, we just saw the Grammys, Chris Brown and Rihanna. People like yourselves who are parents and who also have longstanding in the business and who've been through a lot. What kind of advice do you give to a young person that's struggling like that?
Well, you know, the thing is, I know a lot of actors, and, you know, just look in their eyes. You know, they try to be happy, but you can see that they're not. You know, and you see them out partying, trying to fill that void. I did it. I was partying myself to death, trying to fill that void that I had. And you see all the actors out there trying to fill that void by drugs, alcohol, you know, all the things that are not going to cure that void that they have in them until they really find their faith. And, and the actors I meet that have their faith, you can see the brightness in their eyes. And the ones that don't have it, you can see that darkness in their eyes. And so I just say, you know, try it. You know, try your faith. Just try it out and see if it works for you. I know it will. It worked for me. And I know it'll work for them, too, if they will just give it a try.
And they should stay true to themselves, who they are, and not compromise their values, no matter what tries to pull at them.
Ethics is a big thing, and I'm really disappointed on the direction our ethics are going in our political system. And you know, and the thing is, we got to get back on the straight and narrow.
Yeah, that's what we need to do. Get back on the straight and narrow. And it's so important that we walk in a way that is pleasing to God, because He's inviting us to do it. He's inviting us to walk there. And that's trusting in Jesus is what we need to do. This is a song by Steve Paleo, an old hymn, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus."
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, and to know, thus saith the
is so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. That's Steve Pelayo, and a very powerful rendition of that beautiful hymn. That is the essence of faith, is trusting what God said, and believing what God said, needing no other evidence, because we're trusting in things all the time. We're trusting in our own abilities. We're trusting in our own desires. There's a lot of things we reach for. We might as well reach for what God would have us reach for. And that's what it means to lean the entire personality upon God, to trust him. People in the Bible trusted God. They trusted in the Lord and with all their heart, and they leaned not to their own understanding. And I like this song by Dion. It talks about people who trusted in the Lord in the Bible, Noah, and so forth. Let's give a listen. Trust in the Lord. Faith that overcomes.
Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. The Lord in all of your ways, he will make your path straight. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways. He will make your path straight. He will make your path straight. Yes, sir. Jonah got alone in the belly of the whale. Daniel in the lion's den. Because anyone who comes to him must believe. You see, you trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways. He will make your path straight. He will make your path straight. Yes, it will.
acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways. He will make your path straight. Yes, sir. He will make your path straight. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, and it is certain of what we do not see. Faith, it surely comes by hearing the word of God, you see. God, you see, yeah.
That's Dion, trust in the Lord, and powerful message. You know, he quoted that scripture in there, and that song, that scripture that in the Romans, the fourth chapter, where God calls things that are not as though they were. God calls things that are not as though they were. God calls things that are not as though they were. How can you be so sure that that's the right way to go? Well, that's how God created everything. He said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void. Obviously, something happened that caused a great cataclysmic event. We believe it's the rebellion of Satan. And then God said to bring things back to order and to create things the way they are now, he said, light be, and light was. He said, firmament be, and firmament was. And he said, you know, that's how he created everything. But in the Romans, the fourth chapter, it says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. He said, not only to that which is of the law, but that which of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee the father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead, and calls those things which be not as though they were, Romans 4:17. So, and then it talks about Abraham, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Then in verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. How do you become strong in faith except you give glory to God? How do you give glory to God? You call things that be not as though they were. I thought about this for just a moment. In fact, just while this song was going on, this thought came to me that we got to call things that be not as though they were. How do you call? Well, you make a phone call. I don't know about you, but it depends where you are with your cell phone. You make a phone call, and sometimes you have to wait. What are you waiting for? A connection. It's almost like going back to the old days when you had that operator that had to put that little, you know, those little wires into the switchboard, and they're, you know, but it's even worse today. I mean, sometimes you got to go find a good spot where you can make a connection, but you're making this phone call and you're waiting for a connection. So do you hang up and just forget about it? No, you got to talk to this person. Depends how important it is. And so some phone calls are very time sensitive and important. So you got to wait to get that connection. And sometimes people will, they'll go to various lengths. I know for a while I had to leave my house sometimes and drive, you know, 3 or 4 blocks to make a phone call on a cell phone. And because that's the way, you know, it was. So that's the way that, you know, our area is a very poor area to receive reception. But the point is, you make that phone call, you call the promise. With faith, it has to do with the promise. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Every word of God, every promise of God has within it the faith that it takes to overcome whatever situation is. In other words, the word of healing has within it the healing power. God's promise of healing has the healing power within it to bring forth healing. God's word on joy has within it the power to bring forth joy. Just like a seed has within it the power to bring forth the tree and the fruit in the tree. How does a fruit come from that seed? It's inside of that seed. The DNA's there. If you plant an apple seed, you're going to get an apple tree with apples. If you watered it enough, and if you do the right things, you're going to get an apple tree. I mean, that's amazing. You look at a seed and you go, I'm going to get a tree out of this, and hundreds and hundreds of apples every single year. And you think, my goodness, but it happens. Oh yeah, it happens. Well, the same thing is true. Jesus said, the sower sows the word. The sower sows the seed. And inside the seed is the nutrients, the elements of God in faith. And God said the seed is a faith seed. And it germinates when you believe. It germinates in a heart that is a good heart. Amen. Not a froward heart or a bad heart or a nasty heart. It's a heart that God has conditioned with his Holy Spirit. And it's good soil. Good soil is soil that has been developed by God and has his love and his grace and his power in it. So we take that good seed, which is God's promise, we put it in the good heart. And Matthew says that a good heart brings forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Whoa, my goodness, my favorite subject. I mean, and so how do you call things? Well, when you make that cell phone call, you hold on the line till you get that connection. And some of the things that God says are harder to understand for some of us than other things are. So we got to stay in that connection, stay in that place of prayer, stay in that place of seeking God until that connection hits. And suddenly there's a connection. And you go, oh my goodness. You know what happens? The eyes of your understanding become enlightened. And that's why Paul prays. He said, I pray the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you would know the hope of your calling, the riches of the glory of God's inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of his power towards us, according to the working of his mighty power, which he accomplished in Christ when he raised him from the dead. There is resurrection power on the inside of us, on the inside of our hearts. And when that good seed is sown in good soil, it brings forth fruit. And that is when there's powerful things. You begin to say what God says. And we played this song in yesterday's broadcast on part one of Faith That Overcomes. But it is so, it's a teaching song. You got to get out your paper and pencil and your Bible, and you got to listen to it like you're listening to somebody teach you, because it's not just tap your toe and let's just sing along. This is a teaching of God's word. Faith says what God says. And when you start saying what God says, you know faith is active. And there's something going on the inside that was not there before. And you know your harvest is not that far away. The connection's being made. And it'll bring forth a harvest that overcomes. David Ingalls.
Should fear bring display to frighten away your hope and your trust in the Lord? Upward fix your gaze, give to God your praise while you stand in the strength of his word. Faith says what God says, that nothing is impossible to you. Faith says what God says, regardless of the circumstance in view. He only needs a heart that will believe him, obedient to speak his promise through. Faith says what God says, that nothing is impossible to you. Though sickness or test come to challenge your health, invade the very temple of the Lord. Take courage and be bold, tell infirmity to go, while you stand in the strength of God's word. Faith says what God says, that nothing is impossible to do. Faith says what God says, the circumstance in view. He only needs a heart that will believe him, obedient to speak his promise through.
Yeah, that's David Ingles, that faith says what God says. And you can know you're on target with heaven when you're saying what God says. That's awesome. You know, a child knows that if you're saying what your father says, if you're saying what your parents are saying, that you're on good footing. You're going to be in good graces with them. You got that right. And let me give you an example of this. Isaiah 54, verse 14 says, in righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression. Somebody said, I'm not far from oppression. Well, that's because you're not established in righteousness. You may know about it. What is righteousness? It's a free gift from God. In Romans 5:17, as many as receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life through one Jesus Christ. So righteousness comes to us as a free gift. It's the conduct and life of Jesus given to us by grace. He says, you get what I do. I did all this and you get credit for it. And so I'm going to give it to you and you're going to be righteous in me. As long as you're in me, you're righteous. And the Father sees you as righteous, and you can come righteously before a righteous throne and not be condemned, not be inferior, not feel condemnation, and all that junk is removed. That's the good news. God's not holding our trespasses against us. So in righteousness, you will be established. He said, when you learn this, you're going to be established. You're going to be a person that can't be pushed around, knocked around, and bumped around, and you don't have to get in the flesh and get all ugly about it either. You just stand like a tree does, like a mighty oak tree. It just stands there. It doesn't need to go hit the elm tree next to it, or the little magnolia tree next to it. It doesn't have to go to the some other tree and just say, hey, I'm bigger than you are. No, it just knows it's established. Its root system goes down very, very deep, and the storms don't blow it down. And because it's been established, well, we're established in righteousness. And when that happens, you'll be far from oppression. Isn't that good news to look forward to? We'll be far from oppression and from terror. Far from oppression, for you shall not fear. Fear is not our friend. You just tell fear to get out of here. And from terror, for it shall not come near you. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. He said, you're going to have tests and trials. I didn't send them. Whosoever shall gather together against you shall fall for your sake. Behold, I created the smith that blows the coals in the fire. He said, I created the devil. Don't worry about it. I took care of him. I defeated him on the cross. And that brings forth in sin an instrument for his work. And I created the waster to destroy. He said, I know what to do with him. I took care of him. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn or shall be shown to be in the wrong. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness or their vindication is of me, saith God. He said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, because I've established you in righteousness, and you shall not fear, and you shall not have terror in your life and oppression. You'll be far from it. All of these things are true. Now, the fact is, we plant that seed in good soil. We water it, it starts growing up, but all of a sudden there's weapons thrown against us that are trying to steal that word away. And God says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Isaiah 54:17. This is how you live by faith. You take that promise and you put it in your heart. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. In righteousness I shall be established. Isaiah 54:14. I shall be far from oppression. Oh yeah. It shall, and I shall not fear, and from terror it shall not come near me. Oh, hallelujah. You know, in verse 13 is even a greater one. It says, and all your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Some of us worry about our kids. You can't do that. Great shall be the peace of my children. I'm going to hold on to that promise. Great shall be the peace of my children. Why? Because in righteousness, I will be established. Yeah. And that's going to get over into my offspring. And we worry about our offspring. Why don't we take care of us being established in righteousness ourselves? And then when all that's true, all the weapons that come against us that try to prosper, they're not going to prosper. This is a powerful song by Aaron Keyes. Talks about no weapon being formed against us will prosper, out of Isaiah 54. It's called Dwell. You just go ahead, meditate on that promise. Let it dwell in your heart so that you have something to fight against the arrows that fly by day and by night. This is Dwell, Aaron Keyes.
Though a thousand may fall at my side, though the enemy war against me, I will not fear the terror by night. I will hide in the shadow. Shelter of the Most High God, I will rest in the beauty of your presence. Your faithfulness is a shield in my great reward. I will not be afraid, I will trust in the shelter of the Most High God. I will rest.
Yeah, that's how we trust in the Lord. We mirror God's word back to him. We send his word back to him. And that's how we trust. Somebody said, how do you know you're trusting? When you've got something from God in your heart and in your mouth. That's what faith is. Faith is of the heart and faith is in the mouth. It says in the book of Romans, with the heart man believes and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's why he said, if you'll confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You know, why did God give you a heart? Why did God give you a mouth? To believe him with. Amen. To walk with him, to talk with him. Now, the greatest aspect of faith is fellowship with God. We're talking a little bit about how to stand against the things that come to steal the seed that we sow. But let's face it, God, when we come into relationship with him, we're walking with him. He comforts us. He saves our soul. You know, like Chuck Norris was saying, you can look in the eyes of somebody and see the rest, see the peace. And you can also look in there and see the unrest and see the darkness. And God comes to comfort our soul, so we don't need the drugs. We don't need the hyperactivity. We don't need to be, you know, on this adrenaline rush to be successful about every single little detail. And it's great to be successful. It's great to be fruitful and to walk in an area where you're bearing fruit in every good work. But to be obsessed over it and to be out of balance with it is crazy. And to not be able to get along with your fellow man and not be have a generous heart in the middle of it. Only God can come in there and make all those things work right. And a fellowship with him is the essence of faith. We are fellowshipping with God. We're not just trying to figure out a formula to get things. We're walking with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. But as we do, he puts things, he gives us promises to believe. And then we put them in our heart. And then, but always, always, just remember this, there's always a counterattack that comes against us. And that's why we have to know who our enemy is, and that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Personally, on the inside, I'm lying down in green pastures beside the still waters. He's restoring my soul. I'm having fellowship with the chief shepherd of the universe. And I'm his lamb and his sheep, and I'm just laying down in green pastures. That's where I want to be all the time. That goodness and mercy are following me all the days of my life, and I'm dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. But as I'm lying down, here comes this thief, comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and trying to take my kids away from me, trying to take my home away from me, trying to take church away from me, and all these things. I got to know that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I got to know that I can speak to a mountain, according to Mark 11:23, and tell mountain, you just move. You get yourself out of here, and you do not mess with me, because I am a child of the Most High God. Because I am a child of the Most High God. Because I am a child of the Most High God. And that mountain has to move when I tell it to move. Because I'm walking in faith with the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We also played this one yesterday, but we're going to go ahead and give you a little bit of taste of it again. Mountain move. This is New Spirit.
Mountain.
Believe, have faith in God.
mountain. Mountain, be cast into the sea. Yeah, ooh, mountain, ooh, mountain, ooh, mountain, ooh, in the name.
New spirit, move mountain, move. And they're just telling us that that's the way faith works. That's the way faith works. You got to talk to that mountain. You got to tell it to be cast into the sea. That's what God tells us to do when the enemy comes against us. Because you know what? Colossians 2:14. We're talking about overcoming faith. Overcoming faith says what God says. Overcoming faith declares something that God has declared. And the enemy has been defeated in our life. And we can stand against him, and no weapon formed against us can prosper, because God has done something about the enemy. Colossians 2:14 says, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them, triumphing over them in it, talking about the work of the cross. Yeah, he triumphed over the enemy. And Jesus took away from the enemy the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And we are in a place where we can stand victorious because that power has been given to us, the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He gave us the keys of the kingdom. And God said he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Verse 15, Colossians 2:15, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And so we are free. The enemy has been defeated, and death has been put under our feet, under the feet of Jesus. And you need to declare it. I need to declare it. And that is living faith.
The enemy's been defeated.
This is Michael W. Smith.
And death couldn't hold you down, down.
Shout unto God.
The enemy's Amen. Been defeated, defeated. Death couldn't hold you down, down. The enemy's been defeated. Hey! The enemy's been defeated, and death couldn't hold you down.
Yeah!
Yeah, it's Michael W. Smith. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. That's right out of the Bible. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. So how can I shout unto God with a voice of triumph if I don't know that I am victorious? That's the whole point of faith. Faith is the direction. Faith shows you you are victorious in Christ. That because of what Jesus did, because of the application of the cross, you are more than conquerors through him that loved you. You are victorious in Jesus. You have the goods because God has done something so powerful. And we're taking that name, we're taking that power, and we're declaring it to the world. And God has led us to form a team. Yeah. And you're invited to be a part of this team. This team is a powerful team because it's got a powerful message. And the message is edification. You know, we can be edified because we are victorious, because Jesus triumphed over death and he gave us the victory. The Bible says, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to be edified, just like that seed that we talked about planted in good soil. It needs to be watered every day so it'll grow up. So you plant the seed by believing what God said, and you say, Lord, I'm going to take that seed. I'm going to believe it. Now we plant it, and now we got to edify that seed by watering it. And how do you do that? By recalling it and saying, Lord, I thank you. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Isaiah 54:17. Remember, we talked about that. That's the seed I planted in my life that I would be, that fear would not come near me. I'd be far from oppression. And the great shall be the peace of my children. I'm going to take that seed and water it right now. And I'm going to recall it to you by giving you praise. Just thank you, Lord. This is watering right now. I'm watering the seed. Thank you, Lord. I'm watering Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Where do you think songs come from like this? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And then you just start singing a song about it. Well, actually, you're just watering the seed, and it's going to grow up and bring forth a great harvest. We want you to join Team Edify. We're just a group of people that have locked arms together. We're going to be a million strong before long. We want you to be a part of the team, and we're just saying we're going to edify people. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care how dark it gets. I don't care how gray it gets. I don't care what people say. I don't care what people think. We're just going to edify the body of Christ. We're going to edify people all around us, people that are saved, not saved, doesn't matter, tall, small, big, short. I don't care where they are. We're going to edify somebody. Hello, this is Ed Gutfeld, and I want to announce to you that there's a new team in town. It's Team Edify. We're running out the bullies of fear, doubt, despair, because Team Edify has taken over. This team is called to build up, strengthen, and cause to overcome. We're calling for 1 million men and women, boys and girls, to lock arms and declare the word of edification in our homes, schools, on the job, in the church, and throughout the marketplaces of the world. We are a simple yet mighty team who have made a decision that each and every day we will receive edification for our lives, bring edification to those around us, and give edification away to someone new each day. As a team member, you'll receive our unique and colorful Edify button, lifetime membership card, daily prayer, and access to daily edification through videos, testimonies, and social network. To join the Edify revolution, simply log on to edifyforlife.org and follow the simple steps. We live in troubled times, full of deception, lies, and depression, but we can make a difference bearing the glad tidings of edification. Again, the website is edifyforlife.org. Join in today. Be one in a million at edifyforlife.org. That's edifyforlife.org. edifyforlife.org is exactly where you need to go. And get involved with Team Edify. We appreciate that. We've been talking about faith that overcomes, not mental assent, not faith that just sits in a thought and thinks about something, but faith that does something, faith that goes out and grabs the victory and the overcoming power of God. And we can actually win people to the Lord. We can actually touch people's lives, see people get healed, and see people's lives get turned around. And that's what we've been talking about. I just pray that these two broadcasts have just absolutely gripped your heart and caused some solidness to come and some foundation to be laid and some a platform on which you can just shout unto God with the voice of triumph. There's a song by Dion I'd like to go out of this broadcast. And it's a great song. It's about my prayer for you. And it's based on scripture, a lot of the prayers of Paul in Ephesians. But it's just powerful. This is Dion, the song called My Prayer for You. Let this sink down into your hearts in the name of Jesus.
May the Father of light pour out his grace on you. May you feel his hand in everything you do. And be strengthened by the things it brings you through. This is my prayer for you. May the Son of God be Lord in all your ways. May he shepherd you the length of all your days. And in your heart may he receive the praise. This is my prayer for you. And despite how simple it may sound, I pray that his grace will abound and motivate everything you do. And may the fullness of his love be shared through you. May his spirit comfort you, make you strong. May he discipline you gently when you're wrong. And in your heart may he give you a song. This is my prayer for you. Shepherd you the length of all your days, yeah. And in your heart may he receive the praise. This is my prayer for you. My prayer.
Amen. That's Dion, and this is my prayer for you. My prayer for you, and that is powerful, that the prayers of Paul in Ephesians are so directive in the way we ought to pray. We don't have to guess. God, open the eyes of our understanding, that the Spirit of God may come into our life and strengthen us on the inside and cause us to be, strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inward man, that Christ would dwell in our hearts by faith, that we would be rooted and grounded in love, comprehending with all saints the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. There's so many specific things that God ordained that we should pray for, that we don't have to just be out there hitting and missing. And Lord, do anything you can to bring my kids to you and knock them down, God. Don't do that. Pray that the eyes of their understanding being enlightened. Hey, it's been great to be with you today, and we're glad you joined us in the broadcast, and that's our prayer for you. And as we close out, just remember this one thing. It's time. It is time. This is the Super Bowl. This is the World Series. It's happening right now. Redeem the time. Buy it back for eternity. Put your hand to the plow. Don't turn back. Get on the horse, the white horse of the gospel, and tell people the good news. Don't delay anymore. It's time to tell people the greatness of our God. It's time to tell people that it is time to rise up and walk in faith. Yeah.